For WTOP News, this is The Book Report. I'm Tariq King. I'm here with New York Times bestselling author Daisy Goodwin to discuss her new book, Diva, a novel, a work of historical fiction about the woman known round the world as La Divina, who many call the greatest operatic soprano of all time, Maria Callas. Diva is the story of Madame Callas, the performer, and her love affair with one of the world's richest men, Aristotle Onassis. I thank you so much, Daisy, for being with me on The Book Report today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's jump right into it. What's this book about? Which part of Maria Callas's life does this story tell?
I wanted to put Maria, the performer, at the center stage in my book. So the story starts on the night that, in my view, Maria Callas gives her greatest performance, which is the night when she leaves her Paris apartment and she goes out and she goes to Maxine's, which is her favorite restaurant. And she's smiling, she's all dressed up, she's wearing jewels. And everybody knows that on the other side of Europe, the man that Maria loves, and Aristotle Onassis, is marrying Jacqueline Kennedy.
Why did you choose to center a novel around this story as opposed to a work of nonfiction?
I wanted to write a book where you are seeing the world through Maria's eyes. And it seemed to me that there was no clean way of writing a biography that did that. And the only way I could do that, to really get inside her head, was to write it as fiction. And the other problem is with Maria's story is that there's so much we don't know. There are so many kind of alternative versions of what happened. So I just decided that the only way to do her justice was to write, was to get as far inside her head as I possibly could and then write what I felt was true. And I got inside her head by watching everything she ever said, by listening to all her recordings. And I sort of feel I've got quite close to her.
These are larger than life figures. And a lot was written at the time of this affair, really throughout the entirety of Madame Callas's career. A lot was written about her purported tempestuous nature and all the so-called drama that surrounded her. How much were you concerned about keeping fidelity to what was already known as established sort of facts?
Well, I think I'm pretty faithful to the facts, to be honest. I mean, I haven't invented anything that didn't happen. But I think I probably come at her career with a 21st century woman's hat on, in the sense that I don't think of her as a difficult woman, a tempestuous woman. I think of her as a woman who was a perfectionist, who wanted the conductor to play at the right pace, who wanted equal pay with the tenors, who wanted, you know, to have everything just as she knew it should be. In other words, she's a genius. And what I wanted was to show that she was an absolutely brilliant musician who changed the face of opera forever. And she didn't get there by being, you know, easy to work with. If she'd been a man, no one would have called her tempestuous or difficult or a diva or anything like that. But because she's a woman and she's a woman who wants everything to be perfect, she's given all these derogatory names. So in that sense, I've departed from the conventional narrative, but I don't think that is going against the facts. It's just going against the way she was viewed at the time.
But you did offer a disclaimer at the beginning of the book to Madame Callas's most ardent fans. So please, let's just tell us what that is.
Well, I just said I've massaged the dates a bit because I just wanted the story to move along as swiftly as possible. So I've kind of left out a year here and there. And I know that Callas fans will spot that and get very upset about it. But so I thought I'd just try and stave off those criticisms at the beginning.
As I mentioned, Maria Callas, Aristotle Onassis, larger than life figures. But yet there are some things that are essentially human that everyone has to sort of confront and deal with. And so what are some of the themes in Maria's story that you explore here that audiences will find universal?
I think everybody wonders at some point in their life if their partner loves them for themselves, really sees them, And I think that for Maria, when we first meet her, she's married to a man who she knows sees her as the golden goose, really, as the great singer. He loves Maria Callas, the singer, but does he love Maria, the woman? And then when she meets Onassis, Onassis clearly is interested in Maria, the woman. He couldn't care less about opera. And that, for her, is a sort of moment of real connection. So I think people will be able to understand, you know, the feeling of suddenly being seen, really seen by another person.
Another thing that I found really compelling about her personal story, Onassis aside, is the relationship with her mother and how that manifests in her drive and how she experienced the world. Talk a little bit about that, because I think that that permeated your story.
It does. You know, Maria was the second of two children, and her older sister was blonde and pretty and the one that her mother really liked. And Maria was the sort of less well-favoured child. And it wasn't until she started to sing that her mother really took any notice of her. And when she realised that this child of hers, the one, the ugly duckling, as it were, had the potential to become this incredible operatic swan, she suddenly, you know, put all her focus onto Maria and made sure that she got the lessons. And I think, to some extent, was the reason that Maria had such drive. And I think it's a twofold thing. One is that, you know, the mother made sure that she practiced and did all of that. But the second thing was that Maria understood from a very early age that the only time that she was going to get love from her mother was when she was singing. And I think that translated itself to her feelings about her audience. So, you know, if you're not unconditionally loved by your parents, but you have this power to stand on a stage and make 2,000 people go wild, then that becomes your, I suppose, your drug of choice, you know?
But eventually one runs out of their golden coins. I would like to know if the conversation that you put, and what do I mean by golden coins? There's a conversation with Maria's teacher, Elvira de Hidalgo. Did I say it correctly?
De Hidalgo. Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Which was just this profound bit of wisdom. Did you make that up?
The thing about opera singers, they're like footballers, they're like ballet dancers, you know, gymnasts. They've only got so many performances in them. And at the beginning of the novel, Maria, she's 19, they're in Athens, it's snowing, and she sees her singing teacher in the street and she starts singing to her. And the singing teacher, Maria de Hidalgo, goes, oh, stop, stop, stop. You mustn't sing in the street like that. And Maria goes, why not? Did I do it wrong? She said, no, but you've got to understand, you know, your voice is like an amphora, ancient Greek amphora full of golden coins. And each coin represents a performance. And you've got to spend them wisely, because once they're gone, they're gone. And that is so true. And I think Maria was so talented. She had such incredible musical ability that when she, you know, got to Italy and started to sing, she just sang everything. And she forgot that, you know, that you've only got so many performances left. There were only so many golden coins.
Would you say you were driven by a desire to perhaps elevate the reading audience into this grand world, or to bring that world to the reader in its purest and most relatable essence?
Well, you know what? I think it's a love story. It's a story of a powerful woman kind of trying to kind of figure out what really matters to her, you know? And I think I hope it will appeal to people who've never seen an opera, who know nothing about opera, who, you know, have never heard Callas sing. But I hope that once you've read the book, you will want to hear Callas sing. And you know, I've even put a playlist on Spotify so you can hear the tracks that I really love, because, you know, I think she's an amazing singer, and she's certainly been the soundtrack for my life.
play along with me on this if you can. This is not something I ever do, but I'd like to, if you can, please try to complete this sentence for me. Maria Callas was a singular voice and a singular person because...
Because she had total confidence in her own talent and consummate musical ability. And she was afraid of nothing.
Thank you so much. Well, I think that it's a timeless and universal story. It was an absolute pleasure to read it. Thank you so much for writing it, for the beautiful piece of art. And thank you for joining us on the Book Report today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really, really enjoyed our conversation.
And I thank everyone for listening to this edition of the Book Report. For WTOP News, I'm Tariq King.